Prabhupada says, many times demons will do anything for sense gratification. And then he said, anything. And there's no limit about what they will do. And here, you know, the demon will kill his own son. He doesn't. Prabhupada cites the example of how Aurangzeb, his father Shah Jahan, supposedly he was the one that built the Taj Mahal. Of course, there's some controversy over that also. And it was a dedication to his wife who died. It was a tomb for his wife, actually. So Shah Jahan was one of three brothers. Not Shah Jahan, but Aurangzeb was one of three sons of Shah Jahan. So Aurangzeb was very envious. So he didn't like his father ruling, so he was powerful enough, so he wound up killing one of his brothers, driving the other one away, and imprisoning his father just because he wanted to be powerful. He was envious by nature. Of course, we know the history of Aurangzeb and all his atrocities. And this is an example of what the demons are like. There's no limit to what they'll do for sense gratification. So here we see the same example, Prahlad Maharaja's father, Hiranyakashipu. I mean, he's demon personified. If we have to think of demons, we think of Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, people like that. I mean, ones who are, you know, first-class demons. And Prahlad Maharaj also addresses his father Asurya Bhakta Bhava. What is the word? Surya Bharya. Oh, yeah. The best of the demons. And so he was willing to do anything if he was disobeyed or threatened. Not even if they're threatened. Even if sometimes the demons are disobeyed, sometimes they will do, kill their friends, relatives, just like Prabhupada actually says this. He says when the Islamic people were ruling India, they wouldn't get, there was one Islamic ruler, he would have a Hindu as assistant, because if he had another Islamic person as his assistant, he wouldn't trust him as much as he would as a Hindu. Prabhupada talks about that. How they don't even trust each other. So that's the nature of demons. They don't have any trust for each other, what to speak of trusting other people. So, but Prahlad, because he's protected by the Lord, he cannot be killed. He's referred to by his father as the enemy and the killer of my brother, because he's on the side of the Lord, or he's a devotee of the Lord. So one who sides with the Lord, or is a devotee of the Lord, is considered to be an enemy to those who are against the Lord, automatically. So Prabhupada said in Krishna consciousness, although you don't make anybody your enemy, everybody will make you your enemy. You have enemies just because you're a devotee. Prabhupada says, but never mind. Never mind, because we have to serve the Lord, so we're willing to take on whatever difficulties. Even when Prabhupada was here, he had many difficulties. A lot of times we don't hear about the stories. One time Prabhupada was getting off a plane, and he was walking down the runway towards the terminal. And he was with his one or two servants. I think Harikesh Maharaj was with him. And one man from a long distance, he saw Prabhupada. He was really envious. Start running full speed. He was going to smash into Prabhupada. Somehow Harikesh Maharaj was alert, and he just saw the man at the last minute and blocked him. And somehow they both crashed. But Prabhupada was spared. He could have probably been killed. So that was what it's like, you know, sometimes to be a devotee. You never know what's going to happen. Sometimes devotees get attacked. Sometimes devotees get persecuted. Even in places in the world now, it's like that. There's certain places you can't preach. Because if they do catch you, they put you in jail and persecute you. Korea was okay. North Korea, yeah. You can't go to even to your country in the northern places. You never know what's going to happen. So where else is there in the world? I'm sure there's other places I can't think of. Certain places in the former Soviet Republic, just like now, Kazakhstan is. I just read an article. Kazakhstan is trying to throw out all other religions other than Islam. Because we had a big fight trying to establish our temple there, and eventually we wound up with a little small acre of land, or small patch of land, which is not so good. And we're still fighting them. So they're trying to get rid of us. It's like that. Of course, in other places, people like you. So it's so different around the world where you go. Places, certain places in Africa, it's really dangerous. Devotees were killed in Africa. One of the greatest devotees in a female body, Mother Landini, she was my god sister. I knew her quite well. She was in New Vrindavan, and she went into Africa to preach, and she was a fearless preacher. I mean, really, completely fearless. I never met anyone so fearless, totally, completely free from her bodily conception of life. But, you know, she tried to protect the devotees who were being attacked and harassed by this really powerful revolutionary gang. And he was killing all the men. He had raided the temple, and he was lining up the men and just shooting them. And she didn't like that. The women were going to be spared because he had you can't say good quality anyway. But she was seeing that devotees were being killed, so she jumped on him to grab the gun to save the devotee's life. And it did help because some devotees did get away. But she was killed because of that. Actually, we're celebrating 20 years of her disappearance. She died in 1990 in a place called Liberia in Africa. Very difficult place. With revolutions going on there. Devotees were told to leave the country, but they were doing Food for Life to save some of the people who were in the middle of the revolution who had no food. So some of them decided to stay and risk their lives to help these people. So it's like that sometimes. You never know. You know, to take on Krishna consciousness, you know, you make enemies with people who are, you know, envious and demoniac by nature. Even some of our devotees have met, you know, one devotee met a former CIA agent who was telling him how the CIA in America watches our movement very carefully and has all files on everybody. And if we get a little too powerful in our preaching, they find out some way to crush that. At least powerful among certain classes of people. They don't care if you preach to the students. They don't care if you preach to the, average American. But if you start hitting the level of people where the economic base is, and these people start becoming devotees, the CIA agent, he was a former defected CIA agent. He was actually, they tried to kill him. The CIA tried to kill him. Because he failed in his mission. And when he was captured by the enemy, if you fail in your mission as a CIA spy, they try to kill you because they don't want you to leak any information to the, you know, the enemy government. But somehow or other, they failed. They wounded him, but he got away. And then he turned against the CIA and was threatening the CIA, if you try to kill me, I'll release all this information about all your activities. Because he put three people in three different places with all information. Said, if I die, all this information will hit the papers. So they were a little bit reluctant to kill the guy. So this is what goes on in today's governments. Well, he met one of our devotees in jail. Both of them were in jail. He was just telling how the CIA operates in America, watching, you know, religious groups, you know, and how powerful they get. I remember I was, before I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I was a communist. Really? I was a member of the Communist Party. Not the socialist, partly. And so I was involved with anti-war revolutions in America for many years, and I was organizing, and I was involved with various programs, traveling around. I was traveling and preaching against the war. Now I'm traveling and preaching in a better way. But and then I gave all that up at one point and came to Krishna consciousness. And then after being a year in New Vrindavan, I was living in this little farmhouse in a really remote part of the New Vrindavan. It was the Brahmachari Ashram. It was away from everything. And one day I get a call. Somebody came up there and said, they want to see you at the main farm, which was 2 miles away. So I came down there, and there was two government agents there greeting me. And they said, we want to check on you because we know all of your previous political activities. And we want to see what you're doing now. I said, well, I'm a nice person now. I gave all that up. 2 hours of interrogation, actually. Just me and these two agents, and they just asked me on. And finally, they were convinced I was finished with my previous political activities. And then they left, and that was the last time I saw them. So, you know, I was just a little insect compared to some people who are involved with, you know, anti-war or anti-government activities. But still, they have files on everybody. So, anyway, if you're on file, don't worry about it. You can consider yourself as good as Prahlad Maharaj. Following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj to be harassed by the demons. Of course, London, for some reason, this country is really quite favorable to devotees, and that's nice. That's because of the preaching, and that's because of the devotees are treat people nice, and we do nice programs. So our preaching is somewhat favorable, right, in general? They like us. You know, in fact, and sometimes they even say, London is famous for the Hare Krishnas. You know, even when I go to the airport and, you know, I meet the immigration agents, they ask you, why are you coming into our country? Well, I'm a Hare Krishna. Oh, okay. Stamp the passport. Go on. No problem. So far, anyway. So, that's good. That means somehow or other we're preaching nicely. So, but Prahlad Maharaj, you know, all he's doing, he's only a devotee. He's not doing anything wrong, but still he's being harassed by his father. And Prabhupada makes a point that Prahlad Maharaj is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he represents the Supreme Personality and he resembles the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a type of liberation where one gets the same form as the Lord. Not that you become the Lord, but you actually look like the Lord. It's called Sarupyam Mukti. It's one of the four acceptable forms of liberation for Vaishnavas. There is having the same form as the Lord, having the same opulence as the Lord, having the same, being on the same planet as the Lord, and being in the association of the Lord, I think. And it requires some better explanations, but these are generally what the topics are. So if one can get one of these liberations. But you know, for Vodananda Saraswati, one of the most prominent Vaishnavas from South India. He was the brother of Venkatabhata and also very much absorbed in teaching the principles taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He basically says that these liberations are useless. Actually, he talks about Samipya. Sahuja liberation. But you know, in different places within the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that devotee doesn't even aspire for these liberations, any form of liberations. A devotee wants to engage in devotional service. Nadanam na janam na sundaram kavitam va jagadisha kamuye manma janmani janmani ishwari bhavatad bhakti ahoituke. Now a devotee doesn't want wealth, Lord Chaitanya preaches, doesn't want followers, doesn't want the pleasures of the opposite sex, doesn't even want to be known as a great devotee. Devotee wants to stay in the background. Devotee wants to do nice service. When we say important service, that is to help to preach the mission, but at the same time, the devotee doesn't want anything. He's happy just to engage in devotional service, knowing that the Lord is pleased and others are benefiting. In the Ramanuja Sampradaya, there's a beautiful story. I'll tell this story. It's about what is the qualification of a pure devotee or great devotee. So there was a brother, the nephew of Ramanuja. His name was Dasarati. Was it Dasarati or someone? One relative of Ramanuja. He came to Ramanuja and wanted to know, well, what is the quality of a great devotee? Ramanuja said, you go to Shailapurna. He's in Tirupati. He's taking care of the deity there. You go there and you ask him. So he had to travel from Sri Rangam to Tirupati, which is a distance. Finally, he met Shailapurnam there. And Shailapurnam was busy, engaged in various activities. He had just established the deity there, and he had built a nice garden. Nobody was there before them. He came, him and his elderly wife, they both came together. So he was serving his guru so nicely. So this devotee asked him, you know, I've come on behalf of my spiritual master and Ramanuja. And I asked him a question. He sent me to you. He said, what is your question? I want to know what is the quality of a great devotee? Shailapurna didn't answer his question. He said, why don't you help with the service here? So for 6 months, he engaged him in service. After six, he never answered his question, never even brought up the question again. And the devotee was just happy to serve. So after 6 months, he came to him and said, you had a question? He said, yeah. He told him his question again. He said, the quality of a great devotee is, he's like a crane, like a male hen, like salt, and like you. And he walked away. That was his answer. A crane, a male hen, salt, and you. I left out one part. Well, just before that, there was a big festival, and all the Vaishnavas came to Tirupati for the festival. And he was there, this devotee, so there was a big feast. So he was asked to serve. So he served all the devotees, and then it was time for all the servers to sit down and serve. And he was asked to serve the servers. So he did, willingly, happily, engaged in service. And then later on, after he did that, then he was asked, well, what was your question? So he got that answer. So a crane is by nature white, so it represents purity. A devotee is pure and has no material desires. A crane lives by the sea or by the nice water, but the fishes go by and the crane is looking into the water trying to think which fish to get. But he lets the little fish go, and he takes the big fish. So a devotee is like that. He doesn't want to waste time with small topics. He's thinking about the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the rivers flood where the crane is, so the crane leaves and go to the ocean. Doesn't stay in the flooded areas. So a devotee is like, doesn't want to associate with worldly-minded people. When worldly-minded people go, he goes to where the Vaishnavas go. So that's the crane. A male hen, he's looking for things for his baby. So he's searching in the dustbin for all the little pieces of grains that may have been left. So he picks out only the good stuff and leaves the rest. So he's like a male hen. Simply takes the best from the worst and leaves the worst alone. The devotee sees only the good qualities in others and leaves everything else behind. Salt, you need salt to make your food a little tasty. If you put no salt, it's not so nice. If you put a lot of salt, you can't eat it. But if the salt is right and the food is nice, the person is eating it thinks, wow, this prasadam is really nice, or this food is nice. He doesn't say the salt is exactly right. So the salt makes the taste, but at the same time doesn't get any credit. So a Vaishnava is like that. He does service, but he always wants to be in the background. Doesn't want any praise. Doesn't want any recognition. Doesn't want any distinction. So the salt, although he makes the prep, remains hidden. Devotee does his service and is thinking how to give credit to others. And the last one, you, when he said you, he meant that when you were asked to serve, you did. So you put all the other devotees first and you put yourself last. So he didn't understand the answer, so he went back to Ramanuja, and Ramanuja explained what were the answers given by Shaila Puna. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. So it's interesting, Prahlad Maharaj is, although he's being killed and threatened, and this is the upcoming verses, gets pretty sticky here. Prahlad is not complaining, he's not even defending himself. And he's still thinking about the welfare of his father. It's amazing. He's being killed by his father, and he's not thinking of himself. He's thinking how to help my poor father. There's a beautiful story that's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but it's mentioned in one scripture called the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, it's divided into two categories of topics, one about Prahlad Maharaj and the other one about Dhruva Maharaj. In the section of Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad is really preaching. What we get in Bhagavatam, he's preaching to his father, but he was preaching so vigorously to everyone, his schoolmates, his teachers, his father, everybody. He was like a fearless preacher, 5 years old. So part of the torture that his father subjected to, which was a consequence of what didn't work before then, he called his powerful tantric brahmanas, who had all this power to put spells on people. So he said, put a curse on him and kill him. You know, Brahmins can do that. And they have power to curse. Brahma Tejas is more powerful than Kshatriya Tejas. Be careful. If you're a qualified devotee, don't curse anybody. Because you do have power, but we don't use our power in the wrong way. We use it only for the benefit of others. But devotee has power. So, this Brahmin, he has power. So, they were putting all these curses and mantras and all these things on Prahlad. But Prahlad was taking shelter of the Supreme Lord and nothing was happening. But there's a principle that if you put a curse on someone and it doesn't work, it goes back to you. So, it was going, because Prahlad was completely protected by the Lord, The curses were, the effects of the curses were going back to the Brahmins, and they were dying. They were actually dying. And so what did they do? They went to Prahlad and said, Prahlad, save us. We tried to kill you, and now we're dying. I mean, an ordinary person will say, ha ha, I won, you die. But Prahlad was so compassionate that when they offered prayers to Prahlad and prayed, he said, okay. So he prayed to the Lord, and somehow the curses were freed from the curses. It was Prahlad Maharaj. What a great Vaishnava. He's only 5 years old, too, imagine. Who could think of a five-year-old boy having such extraordinary qualities? But he's a Mahabhagavat. He's a great, very great soul. And the last point, which is a little different from the rest of the discussion, is that if you go back to Vaikuntha and you attain liberation in the spiritual world in the Vaikuntha realm, you actually are equally situated with the Lord, as Prabhupada says here. It says, in the Vaikuntha planets, the servants of Lord Vishnu and Narayan are equally situated with the Lord. But they know the difference between the Lord and themselves, and therefore they always worship the Lord in awe and reverence, although they are nicely situated, opulently, spiritually opulent, and have all great facilities there. So, of course, we usually talk about perfection in two realms, Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought us Goloka Vrindavan, the realm of Krishna's pastimes as the cowherd boy, as opposed to Sri Narayan. Of course, according to your, what we say, internal mood, you can attain either one or the other. Of course, there are some who have the internal mood of Vaikuntha and may aspire for Vrindavan, but it's very difficult. But anyway, Lord Chaitanya is giving us the qualifications to enter into the mood of Vrindavan through the process of Harinam Sankirtan, which is the mood of Vrindavan. Okay, so I'll stop there. Any questions? Comments?